Well, I trust that that your year is off to a better start than the Reds' year.
We won again last night.
Well, yeah, we got two in a row. We're still worse than the major leagues, but it's the CEO is in the paper today, and he promised that May will be better than April, which is kind of a low bar.
Well,
yeah. But later in the article, he hoped he thought we should be 500, which is would be good.
That would be outstanding. That would be outstanding. All right. Anything you all would like to discuss before I get started?
No, I think we're good.
Oh, I meant to mention there are. Are you aware of the radio spots that Stiefel has on a regular basis?
Yeah, they were trying out something on Rush, and then they were trying out something on NPR.
Yeah.
Is that where you heard it?
Yeah. There's a. I didn't hear it on NPR. There's a fellow named Hans. Is it Hans Olsen?
Yeah.
He makes complicated things very simple. I there are other people.
You know, I really – yeah, Hans is very good. Unfortunately, he just left this week or last week.
Oh. Well, that's –
yeah, it's a bummer. We got him from Barclays, and I agree. He takes really complicated things, and we had had him at our round table before, and so I'm really disappointed, but they promised they'll bring someone of his caliber back.
Well, there were other good people they had on.
Yeah.
So –
we have another really smart guy named Barry Bannister, but he is so technical. Within the first 2 minutes, I have no idea what he's talking about.
I also I go into the St. Louis newspaper, follow the University of Missouri athletics, and they have the 10 highest paid executives in St. Louis. And the person who runs your firm, I can't remember his name, was handsomely compensated last year. I don't remember the number.
Yeah, what number was he?
He probably. I'll send you a link to the article if I can find it.
Yeah, please do.
He was in the top 10.
Yeah. Not surprising. Yeah, he's rather young, and he's done well for the company over the 20 years, and he'll tell you all about his success. He's very
What's
confident.
His name? What's his name?
Ron Kraszewski.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's like the Duke coach, Krzyzewski. Yeah,
got it. All right, how y'all doing? Versus
he came from Baird. He's good.
Yeah. Sorry. Well, I don't mind paying people if they deliver.
Right. He's been good to us so far.
Say it again.
He's been good to us over the last 12 years.
Yeah. You have a goal of. Of $2 million this year. Tell me how you're doing versus that goal, Howard.
Yeah, so yesterday I ran it, and we are, what's the number? We are $6,000 behind goal, so we're really close through April. So we're at 6.48 ahead of last year, and our goal was 8.4%, so we're just barely, we're $6,000 off for the year. So we're running well.
All right.
And then new assets, as of yesterday, I ran that as well. We've raised a net new number of $5.3 million, and our goal is $5.3 million. So we've done well.
You okay.
Year to date. Yeah, sorry.
Say that again.
We've raised $5.3 net year to date.
I got it. Got it. All right. The homework for this meeting was twofold. One was to use the VIPSA conversation, and the second was to track your referral conversation by client using that form that I had sent out to you a couple of months ago. Tell me how you did against those against that homework, VIPSA and tracking your referral conversations.
So on the referral conversation, I think I had like 22 meetings in the month of, this would be March. We don't have April yet. And I think I had I think it was 7 or 8 referral come. I didn't bring the piece of paper, but it was 7 or 8 came up. So it was about a third, which I thought seemed decent. Once again, you know, it's not going to come up every time. But since I haven't had it before, I think the numbers will be higher earlier than later.
Okay. Yeah, I get that. Those 7, 8 referral conversations, Howard, how did they get started?
Somehow they either mentioned, you know, something that we had done well or the length of the relationship. I'm trying to think of other, you know, where they kind of teed it up or it was appropriate to say something. You know, once again, they thanked me for something or something that we did, or, you know, it was a tax or a check or something like that. So I just tried to use it as an opportunity to talk about it.
Did you get any referrals?
I got one. So I was 1 for 7. I don't know if that's good or bad.
It's about what Billy.
She's coming in at 11. Yeah, exactly.
Here's what I would suggest. These 7 or 8 referral discussions that you had, did you log them into the client's folder that they had given you that referral?
I did not. I was just doing it on Excel, but I can put it in the client log.
Yeah, well, here's when I mentioned a referral tracking sheet, do you remember what that was?
Yes.
Okay. The strong suggestion, folks, is that you put that referral sheet in every folder in a prominent place where you can see it. Now, the reason to do this is there's several, but if you open that folder, Howard, and it's blank, that could trigger your move that to a front of mind experience, so you're looking for referral conversations more diligently. You all got a lot going on. You're growing. I don't want you to, once you get in that ritual of having referral discussions, then you don't have to think about it anymore. It just becomes part of what you do. The other reason,
Well, let me just add one quick thing. So in my meetings and referrals, you know, coming off a, you know, like a good batting average, coming off a home run from, you know, last year are very good reviews, especially early in this year so far, through the first quarter and recent meetings, you know, after we review how things have gone last year. And, you know, obviously everyone understands, you know, you're treading water so far this year with the added market fluctuations. But at the end of their call, I said, well, they're really pleased with the performance and what they've done last year. I interject in there, well, you know, and it's thanks to, you know, you, our clients, and, you know, anybody that you could help us with, you know, refer to us, like yourself, that we'd be glad to help manage. So it falls in perfectly as they're, you know, looking at the returns and, you know, please, and you can just interject it in it very subtly. And I found that would work.
Well, Scott, you broke up a little bit, but I'm going to respond to what you just said. If I'm not responding to what you just said, then I didn't hear it all. It's important. We've talked early about the very most effective thing is Supernova's thoughts put into your words. And Scott, what I heard you say is you're talking to your clients. You're basically asking for other people to talk with. Did I get that right?
Yeah. Basically asking for, you know, referral.
Okay. Here is what I would want to make sure is happening. When you use the VIPSA conversation, when somebody gives you a compliment, that's the way you ask. You begin the referral conversation. Somebody says, Scott, I really appreciate it.
I just said that because maybe you cut off. the clients are complimenting or are pleased with the performance from the previous year, and it's a perfect segue in saying thank you, and by the way, you know, we're always looking to expand our business and anybody such as yourself that you prefer. So absolutely, that's what I just, you know, yeah, you probably got cut off, but that's exactly a perfect segue into that conversation.
I heard you say that. Here's my point, and if it's just duplicating what you're doing, then I apologize. I think the most effective thing is to do it. Have number one, the most important thing is to have the conversation. That's the deal. You've done that. In addition,
right,
to do it around a specific. Scott, I really appreciate the performance we had in 2017. Well, Mr. Jones, thank you for saying that. We work really hard to provide that kind of guidance. I would never want to say performance because that's not what drives your practice. It's service. Do you know anyone else? Do you know anyone else who might like to have that same type of guidance? Do you see what I'm saying feels more specific than what you were saying? Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah. But the most important thing is to have the conversations. Now, did you get any referrals from those conversations?
I've had one.
All right. Have you gotten in front of that person yet?
Yes. I met with them a couple months ago, and they just sent in their financials to do a financial plan.
Okay. All right. So going back to the homework for this week or for this month, number one, use the VIPSA conversation. You're doing that. Number two, make sure you're tracking your referrals by client, not just a sheet where you say, I asked for so many referrals. It keeps it in front of you. And the other thing it does, Howard, and this is where I was going before I got off track, is that if this person, you got one referral, you want to be able to go back to that person who gave you that referral and close the loop.
Got to figure out operationally because – go ahead.
No, you go ahead, please.
Yes, I did close – I closed the loop with the referral person. But what the problem for us is it's just habit, is we log the referral and the prospect in ACT, and that's how we track, and that's how I can tell you how many. We just haven't gone to the next step of then data entry into the client folder. So it's two steps, and there's nothing you can do to get around that, so we have it in both places. I just don't like the data entry business, but I think it's important to be in both, and so we've just got to get the habit of doing it.
I think that would be helpful to you. It also,
for sure.
And now let's go back. You said you had seven or eight conversations. You open the folder for one of those seven or eight the next time you're talking with them, and you see that April the 1st, you had a referral discussion with them. And let's say this conversation's in August. When you see that, you can attach to that previous conversation. Ms. Jones, we talked back in April. You were really complimentary about our service. And during that conversation, I asked you if there's anyone else you knew who would appreciate that type of service. Has anybody come to mind? So do you see how you circle back? Now, I'm trusting you all to do this in a way that is professional. I feel a little silly saying it, but this is not about bludgeoning people. This is about just following up, making sure that there aren't people out there who need your help. I want you to have a shot at them. All right.
Gotcha.
Now, I did the same thing. As I reviewed our notes, my notes from the last meeting, two things jumped out at me. You'd raised in 2017. You raised $16.7 million. You also told me in that same conversation that you opened only three new households. Did I get that down right?
That is correct.
All right. Briefly, how do you bring in 16? I think I know the answer, but I'd rather ask it than guess it. How did you bring in that much money and open only 3 new relationships?
Because the existing clients added new money.
All right. Anything else?
No.
All right. Now, I want to merge all this with something you told me at the beginning of Supernova. You said you offered great service, but you wanted it to be more proactive and be better branded. Do you think you have branded your service?
Yeah. And I think we can articulate it better. We can always get better, but I think it's better. And I think the one-pager, as Scotty's holding up, is a really – the one-pager you helped us develop, the one-page overview, has gotten really good feedback, and I think it synthesizes everything on one page of what we do, and I think it helps.
Good. Good. You've answered part of my next question, Howard. My next question is to be, how is it different from what you were doing prior to Supernova? You're doing the one-pager. Anything else that you're doing that has refined or branded your practice?
Well, I think you've helped synthesize, summarize, fine-tune, articulate. We had a great story, and I think of it as a big funnel, and you just helped narrow it down and become more focused. Rather than just being general, I think we've become more specific. So it feels more comfortable. It doesn't feel as haphazard. It feels more planned, more organized, what I would say.
Terrific. Howard, I can barely hear Scott.
I was just agreeing with Howard.
Okay. All right. Are you consistently, I just want to talk a little specifics about the brand. Do people know that you run a concierge practice for a limited number of people?
I don't think so. I think we still have opportunity to articulate that to more people.
All right. Do people know that you're planning, that you're a planning-driven practice?
I don't think that either.
Well, I don't have to reason any and every new. So you gotta remember the demographics of our client base. It spans over 25, 30 years with a gathering. So there's lots of different styles and relationships out there. It's very dispersed. But however, I would absolutely say with any of the new relationships over the last certainly 3 to 3 years or so, have absolutely understood our process in our ERC meetings. One, we want to do a financial plan and understand what your goals and objectives are. Two, we're not, and go through, what our beliefs are and what we expect from the clients and all that. So implementing, the process has certainly developed a lot more over any and all new relationships. So certainly not the legacy relationships would not necessarily be in that fold.
Good. Now, the importance of having a planning-driven practice and talking about it with all your clients is I want them to be prepared to talk about what you all do specifically, Scott. When they're whining about what Merrill Lynch has done or Morgan Stanley or whatever, your client can say, "Well, I meet with Scott and Howard. I talk to them once a month. Meet with them quarterly. They have a planning-driven practice. We talked about training people to be able to describe your practice." So that's part of talking about it. The other, I would just ask you to be aware of, people when they get later in life don't need a full-blown financial plan. They know they're going to have enough money, to get to the end. That said, there are parts of a financial plan that almost anybody could use. If you've got people who don't have an up-to-date will, that's part of financial planning. It just doesn't require a full-blown plan. If people have a will and it hasn't been fully, assets retitled, whatever, you hold them accountable. That's part of planning. So these older folks, and I'm becoming closer to one every day, don't need a full-blown plan, but that's not a reason not to make sure they're not covered with some of the parts of a plan that would be beneficial. Agreed?
And Rob, absolutely. I had done two financial plans, one on Friday and one on Monday, with two new relationships over the last 3 years and doing financial plans and all that. And in developing it, I actually made notes to eliminate certain segments of the financial plan that are not necessary anymore. One of them has to do with long-term health care and life insurance, because there's no need for this family, and we've done it in the past, and we can eliminate that bucket. And currently, estate planning, spreadsheets aren't necessary, at least currently after, the new limit of $11.2 million. It's not necessary to go through a whole estate planning for someone has a $5 million net worth right now. So certainly eliminating and simplifying the financial plan process also has come to light.
But Rob, your point's really well taken. Also, the planning-driven practice, I think, differentiates us. It gets us out of the performance-chasing market, and it also has clients think of us at a different level. So the one I had yesterday, the woman was looking at her 529, and her brother was named as the successor trustee of the 529, and she's like, well, I just did my trust. Can you call my attorney and make sure it shouldn't be the trust or him? So once again, they're thinking of us top of mind. The other one was a woman called on Friday night and said, can I talk to you on Sunday? I'm selling my medical building. I need you to help me work through the numbers before I talk to the accountant or the attorney or accept this proposal. So once again, had nothing to do with the performance of her accounts, but it was nice that she thought of us as that first person to go to as far as quarterback, whatever, to go to make these decisions. And she knows that I'm not a real estate expert, but she, was the person I thought of rather than the attorney or the accountant who could help, give her some advice and guidance on the sale of this building.
Howard, that's the description of a great relationship, and that's something to be really, really proud of. When people, your practice, folks, is really known by what you do that you don't get paid on.
That's a good way to say it. I never heard that. Say that again?
Your practice is defined by what you do for clients that you don't get paid for.
That's really cool.
It is. That's not the way I would say it to a client. I'd probably use compensation instead of getting paid. But what you've just described, what a great relationship is. If you're charging a client 1% and all they get for that is money management, that account is at risk because there's always somebody who's going to do it cheaper because that's their game. They're cheap. They're not good. So I love what you told me about that lady. Let me ask you a question.
Well, I need to ask her for a referral now.
Well,
when we're done with this thing. I didn't.
No, I don't have to. I don't have to now because you did it just now. But I don't want to minimize the story you just told me. That's a great story, period, end of story. But you've just demonstrated that we've been talking about referrals here for the last 25 minutes, it's a front of mind experience for you right now. So it jumped out at you that wow, I could have had a referral conversation with her. Do you see the importance of keeping it in front of yourselves all the time?
Yeah,
So it's you offer great service. Your clients really like you. You've just demonstrated that. But you're not having a lot of referral conversations. And why aren't you having those referral conversations? It's really simple. You've got a lot going on, and I'm not going to say you haven't made it a priority. You just haven't kept it in front of you on a regular basis. Agreed?
Yep. Agreed.
So what I would, I mean, this is a great report. I mean, you're on track to hit your goal. I mean, $6,000, that's a rounding error at this point in the year.
Right.
5.3 net new assets coming off of 16.7. Howard, you've had 22 meetings. Out of those, you've had 7 or 8 referral conversations, gotten 1 referral. And my guess is, had we not been talking about referrals, you would not have had 7 or 8 referral discussions. Is that fair?
For sure. Maybe 1 or 2 if I'm lucky.
Yeah. So
it's a habit.
You all got a lot to offer. Give people an opportunity to help you. Ms. Jones, I really appreciate how you asked for my advice around selling that building. It is really a compliment. Do you know anyone else who you think could use the type of practice that Scott and I have? Again, you do it professionally. You don't ask every time. If you ask every time, it's just you come across differently. So what I'd like for you to do for the next month, I will – Howard, do you have that referral tracking sheet, or you want me to send you another one?
We have it. We both have it. Yep.
If you could just start getting those in the folder, I think it would really aid in having more referral discussions. All right?
Okay.
All right.
I think we got what's scheduled for May 22nd with Lori, I think, is our next call.
Let me look here.
I don't think she sent me a calendar item, I think. But I think we emailed each other. She's going to send one.
Yeah. On when, Howard?
I think it's May 22nd. May 22nd at like 10, I think.
Yes, I see it. There it is.
Okay.
All right. Look forward to talking with you.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Goodbye.